God, we thank you for today. We thank you that we can have fun worshiping you. And we thank you, God, that you gave your everything for us. We praise you, God, and I pray now as Pastor Dennis comes to share your word that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive what you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Bill did tell me that we were going to do a gospel bluegrass kind of Sunday. I wish I had actually paid more attention because I would have worn my cowboy hat and my big belt buckle. I actually have some of that still at home from whenever I was in Texas. And so I'd have been well dressed for that part. Now I feel just a little out of character here. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me, if you would please, the book of Matthew chapter 6. If you're following along in the Bible that you will find in the chair, you'll find it on page 685. You know, as I've traveled around the world teaching in other countries, one thing has become very, very clear to me, and that is that other countries don't deal with food the same way that we do. The other countries don't think about food the same way we do. Because when we look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus this morning in the Lord's Prayer is teaching us how to pray. He's modeling for us. And he said to his disciples, when you pray, this is what you pray. You pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the piece that we want to focus on this morning, give us today our daily bread. Now, you know, I've probably heard that prayer since I was a little kid, even though we weren't a very religious family growing up. I'd heard it a lot. I knew what it said, but it never really fully impacted me because, you know, I have only been a couple times in my life worried about my daily bread. It's not a ongoing kind of experience for me. But I was in Cuba a number of years ago, and we had just arrived, and we were helping them to build a classroom on their seminary. And we had a couple of men with us, but we needed some local workers to help us kind of get the construction going a little bit faster and get everything taken care of a little bit better. And so I said to my translator, one of the guys that I was working with, I said to him, could you help me find some men who would come out here and work for us? Do you think we could find some people to work? He's like, absolutely, we can get them. I said, well, how? He said, how many do you want? I said, well, how much are they going to cost me? And he said, oh, we're going to pay them a dollar. And I said, you're going to pay them a dollar a day. And I'm a dollar an hour. And he's like, no, we're not going to pay them a dollar an hour. We're going to pay them a dollar a day. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I want them to work all day long. And he's like, yeah. So we go through this big, long explanation. And finally, he gets a little frustrated with me because I'm not understanding his discussion. And he says, here's the way that this works here in Cuba. He says, you're going to tell me how many people you want. And I'm going to go out and find them. And tomorrow morning, they're going to be here when the sun comes up. And they're going to work hard all day long. And they're going to go home tomorrow night when the sun goes down. And you're going to pay them one American dollar. And I just stopped. And then he said the part that just took my breath away. And he said, you're not going to wait till the end of the week and pay them. He said, you're going to pay them when the day is over. Because if they don't get their dollar for the day, they and their families don't eat tonight. See, we don't really process it that way, do we? We don't think in those terms. We walk into our house and we open our pantry, we open our refrigerator, and we just, you know, look at what is there and decide whether or not we want what is there. Most of the world doesn't work that way. A vast majority of our world, they get what they are going to eat that day. I remember when I discovered what Chinese fried rice was. I was teaching in an underground church in China. And we kind of snuck in and we were working with some underground leaders and it's time for lunch. And so hostess got up. She went to the lady whose house we were at, she went to the kitchen and she took some rice and she then started going through her house. And she actually had a refrigerator. She was very, very wealthy considering the way that people in China were living at that point. And she opened her fridge and she started taking out bits and pieces that had been left over from all week long. You know what fried rice is? You know what we call it? Leftovers. That's what it is for them. They take their rice, which is their staple, and any scrap of food, that's why it has all these different things in it. So when Jesus is talking to his disciples about give us this day our daily bread, those experiences and dozens of others have taught me a little bit about what Jesus meant when he said to his disciples, when you pray, this is the model that you follow. And as we continue to study the Lord's Prayer this morning, there's a couple of very distinct lessons that Jesus is teaching us when he tells us to pray that way. Okay, here's the first one. The first lesson is this. Jesus is reminding us of our total dependence upon God. Now, there's a very direct interpretation that for most of us this morning is kind of, it's going to go over our head, because as I said, we don't live this way. Very few of us are going to go home after church today and go, man, and we're going to say, what am I going to eat? But it's not going to be because we don't have anything. It's going to be because we have so many options from which to choose. But there's a whole host of people in the world who are going to go home after church today. I know people in Cuba, and I know people in the Dominican Republic, and I know people in Haiti, and I know people in Mexico, and I know people in China. And they're going to go home, and they're going to say, what am I going to have for lunch today? And they don't have any food in the house. And when they pray, give us this day our daily bread, they actually mean, God, are you going to give me something to eat today? So this story reminds us that we are absolutely dependent upon God for what we have. And we forget that sometimes. We forget that every single thing that we have comes from Him. So the direct interpretation talks about daily provision. And if you begin to think about the people to whom Jesus is writing, He's writing to His disciples. Now, who are they? They are Old Testament Jews. And there is not an Old Testament Jew in the world in Jesus' day and age, in his culture, in his time, that could not hear the lesson about bread and not immediately in their brain go back to what? Manna. You remember the story? It was ingrained into the heart of every single Jewish child. Remember, the nation of Israel had been in captivity in Egypt for hundreds of years. You've seen the story with Moses and the Ten Commandments, where he leads them out of the nation of Israel, leads them out of the nation of Egypt where they have been in slavery, and they are on their way to the promised land. And as they enter into the desert and they're walking through the desert, they realize, oh wait, we got a couple hundred thousand or maybe even a couple of million people here. And out here in the desert, we don't have any way to feed all of these people. So pick up the story with me, if you will, over in Exodus chapter 16. Because when Jesus talks to his disciples and he says to them, pray that God will give you your daily bread, they immediately go back in their mind and in their heart to what happened to the nation of Israel in the desert. It says the whole Israelite community, Exodus chapter 16, set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. And in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron, the leaders. And the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Now listen to this. Don't you love this part? There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Moses, you brought us out here and you hadn't got anything for us to eat. You brought us out here so we could starve, didn't you? And then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them. Look and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. If you're reading along, drop with me down to verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp, and when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? Literally, manna, or manna. What is it? for they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." The Israelites did as they were told, gathered. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. And each one gathered as much as he needed. There's this historical story in the life of the nation of Israel. At the single most important event that marked them as a people, that marked them as a nation, as they are coming out of the land of Egypt, they get in the desert and they discover that they don't have enough to meet their needs, and God miraculously provides for them. And if you continue to read the story of the Exodus, what you discover is that for 40 years, every single morning, the children of Israel got up and they went out, and manna had been provided by God. And they would take it and they would bring it home. And every single day they were reminded of their absolute dependence upon God. You see, that's what Jesus is reminding the disciples of. The Israelites, the disciples, those who were the Jewish people that were listening to him, there is no way that they would have missed the connotation that is coming along with this. When he said, "Give us this day our daily bread," they would immediately go, "Well, yeah, just like God provided for the children of Israel back in the desert." Now, there's a lot of lessons if you continue to read through Exodus chapter 16. There's the lesson of daily provision. There's the lesson of daily trust. You know, it's awesome to see this marvelous miracle from God today, but what about tomorrow? And what about the next day? And what about the next day? You see, there's a lesson that God is teaching the nation of Israel. And by implication, he's teaching the disciples. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily provision. It's a daily trust. It's a right kind of provision. He's giving them enough, but not too much. If you go back and you read the kind of directions that he gives them, he says, "Listen, don't try and gather too much for yourself. I'm going to provide enough for the community. And if you get more than you need, then share it with your neighbor, because they may have collected less than they need. And oh, by the way," he says, "you're not going to be able to keep it for tomorrow. You can't get twice as much as you need for today and then save it for tomorrow, because if you try and do that, it's going to go bad overnight." There's a whole host of lessons that God provides for the children of Israel. And when Jesus models for them the Lord's Prayer, he's bringing all of those different kinds of lessons back to mind. So there's this direct interpretation where Jesus is saying, "Listen, you need to remember that you are dependent upon God and that he provides every single thing that you have. The very breath that enables you to live day in and day out, the Lord provides." But then there's this broader application. And I think Jesus is referencing something greater than just our next day's meal. There's more going on here. And you see this all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. The issue of bread and the issue of food is bigger than that. It's not just, "What am I going to have for lunch?" That's not what Jesus is saying. He's talking about a whole lot more than that. There are some very foundational and important spiritual lessons incorporated here. You see, I think that part of the point that Jesus is teaching us when he tells us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," is that we need to know that there are some things that only God can provide. You see, in our culture where we live in a world of physical abundance and spiritual poverty. Give me that quote up there, Joe. We live in a world of physical abundance and spiritual poverty. We have an abundance of things that matter least and a lack of the things that matter most. Just let that settle in just a little bit. We are inundated with the physical. And we live in a land of spiritual poverty. We live where we have more than most of us know what to do with. Now, I know that is not true for everyone in the room today. I know that there are a lot of us who are here in the room today who we actually pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread. And you mean that. You mean like, you know, the paycheck has run out before the bills have. And you don't have an abundance of things that you can choose from. So that part of that direct interpretation is real for you. But for many of us, we have so much of the physical that we use that to hide from our spiritual need. So when Jesus says, ask God to give you what you need, it's not just about the bread. He's saying to us, don't you know that you're starving for some of the most important things in life? And you're hiding that hunger behind this wall of physical abundance. He's talking about dependence. Here's Moses' interpretation of what is going on in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And you get to the end of those 40 years in the desert, and Moses is looking back on the children of Israel, and he's trying to help them process what God has done and how he has provided for them. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says this. He says, God humbled you. He caused you to hunger. Now that should pause you for just a moment. He caused you to be hungry, and then he fed you manna. And he was teaching you something, he said. He was teaching you. It's the thing that Jesus quoted in the desert. That man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, Jesus, when he says, give us this day our daily bread, is saying that there's some things that are more important in life than just what we're going to eat and what we're going to drink and what we're going to wear. Job said it this way. He says, I'm not departed from the commands of his lips. Listen, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. See, Job got it. He understood. There's something going on here that is more important. There is this dependence upon God, but it's not just a dependence upon the physical. It's not just a dependence upon what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and what we're going to wear. Jesus told us that. He said, why do you worry about that stuff? Your Father in heaven knows that you need it. He's going to give you every single thing that is necessary. Don't worry about today. Trust in him, the one who knows you, loves you, and provides for you. There's a dependence here. And there's a priority. There's something in life that is more important than the physical. Now, we lose sight of that sometimes. If you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 4. It's a story that, again, you may be fairly familiar with. It's a story of Jesus with his disciples one day, walking down the road, making a journey from one place to another. They get halfway to their destination. Jesus, the Bible says in one of the other Gospels, is tired. So he goes to a well on the outside of town, and he sits down, and his disciples go, look, we don't have anything to eat. So we're going to go in town and get some food. Jesus, you stay here and you rest. So they go in town to get some food, and he's sitting there at the well. And a woman comes up to get some water. And they have this great exchange about living water and great exchange about her life and some changes that she needs to make and where she's been and where she's going. And she finally clues in after a while, hey, this guy's got something going on. This is a godly man. This is a man. Could this possibly be the Messiah? Could this be the one that everybody's been waiting for? Could this be the one that everyone's been looking for? Could this be the one that is going to bring us back into relationship with God? And at this point, the disciples return from town and they go up to Jesus and they said, hey, Jesus, what, we brought you something to eat. And he says something to them at the end of this conversation that I want you to catch. It's very, very important. He looked at them and he said, you don't get it, do you? Now, I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. He looked at them and said, you guys don't get it, do you? Don't you understand that I have food to eat that you don't know anything about? And they looked at one another and they're like, I mean, honest to goodness, these guys are dense sometimes. And they're like, somebody bring him a sandwich. while we were gone. Did somebody bring? They just never. There's some times when you think, it gives me hope that God uses dense people. I mean, really, too. I'm like, you know what? They didn't get it either. There are days that I don't get it. Sometimes I'm looking at God going, what? And he's just shaking his head going, Dennis, you don't get it. That's what happened. They looked at him and they said, Lord, did somebody else bring you something to eat? And he said, listen, there's something in life that's more important than what you eat. There's something in life more important than what you wear, than what you drink, than what you put in your savings account, than what you have in your 401. He said, I have something to eat, something that sustains me, something that nourishes me, something that gives meaning and purpose to my life that you guys haven't figured out yet. You still think it's about the physical. And we are that way in our culture. We think it's about the physical. But none of those things satisfy, do they? None of those things nourish our soul. None of those things fill our spirit. None of those things give us hope and encouragement. Oh, we hide behind them for a little while. They feel good for about 15 minutes. I get my new car. I got my new truck. I got my new white truck, and I'm driving it down the road. I'm like, I love this truck. Nobody else has a truck like this. And I saw about 15 of them on the way home. Right? You thought you got the only one in town? And then I told you this a couple of weeks ago. I'm leaving the parking garage at the hospital, and I left the whole side of my truck on one of those beautiful yellow posts. It was ugly. You know, they fixed it. See, the physical is not really what it's about. And that's what Jesus was trying to say to his disciples in John chapter 4. He's saying, listen, we have an abundance of things that really don't matter. And we have an emptiness in things that count the most. And that's when he's saying to them, listen, this is how you pray. Father, give me today the things that I need. And yes, that includes the physical food. But it is so much more than that. And the other thing that he's teaching them is that only God provides those things that are most important. Only God gives them to us. You can't go anywhere else. Turn with me, if you will, over to John chapter 6. Because when you read the Gospel of John, there is so much in there about bread. And when Jesus is talking about bread over in John chapter 6, he's not just talking about the wheat that has been made into this loaf of bread, though it includes that. There's this whole story of the feeding of the 5,000 that you find over in John. And in John, he's beginning to talk to the disciples, and he's beginning to teach them some things that they need to know. And you know the story. It comes right after the one that Bill talked about just a few moments ago of people walking on the water. And in John chapter 6, the scripture says they found him on the other side of the lake, and they said, Rabbi, how did you get here? They begin to talk to him about what's going on, and all the people come over. And they're hungry, and they're looking for food. And Jesus looks at his disciples, and he said to them this. He said, hey, we got 5,000 men plus all the women and the children that have followed us out here. And it's time for dinner, and they're hungry. So what I want you guys to do is I want you to feed them. And they're all looking at one another. They're like, where are we going to get food to feed 5,000 people? Jesus, we don't have enough money to even go in town and buy enough food to feed 5,000 people. Philip answered him. He said, 8 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread for each one to even have a bite. And another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and he said, here's a boy. He's got 5 little small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But then he asked the question, how far will they go among so many? Got 5 little loaves and 2 little fish. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There's a lot of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And then Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks. And he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Now go, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them, and look, they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. How many disciples were there? 12. How many baskets did they get? 12. You got to know that Philip and Peter are standing there looking at one another, and he's like, "Dude, you said there were 5 loaves and 2 little fish. I got a basket full. Where'd all that come from?" And you got a basket. He's got a basket. He's got a basket. He's got a basket. All the people ate. You see, the lesson here is not just about the food, right? It is about the food. The people are hungry. Jesus fed them. But he's talking to them about something that's much more important. He's talking to them about this dependence upon God. He's talking to them about provision. See, when you go back and you read the entire John chapter 6 account, what he says to them is in verse 36, in verse 32 is this. He says, "What you have, it didn't come from Moses. It didn't come from town. It didn't come from the little boy. It didn't come from him. What you have came from God," just like what the children of Israel got in the desert. The provision was from God. Don't be confused. Go home, open your refrigerator, go home, open the door to your pantry, and look in there, and here's what you should say. "Thank you, God." Because there's people all over the world that haven't had that provision the way that he has placed it there for you and for I. What we have, it comes from him. Verse 35, what we most need is Jesus. Spiritual life. Take a look at what he said to them over in John chapter 6 and verse 35. He's beginning to interpret for them what's going on. I'm picking up in verse 32. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." So he's reinterpreting for them that whole discussion about the manna. He's saying to them, "Listen, don't be confused. It didn't ultimately come from Moses. He told you where to gather it. But God was the one who provided it. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now, all of a sudden, he's making this transition. He's making this equation between the physical and the spiritual. And he's saying, "Listen, pay attention to what's going on." So they said, "Sir, from now on, give us this bread." Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life." Now, all of a sudden, it's beginning to come into focus. Jesus is saying to us, "Listen, in exactly the same way that God gives you what you need to survive spiritually, so he provides what you need spiritually. The same way he gives you what you need physically, he provides what you need spiritually. In the same way that he gave you manna, the bread for the physical, so I am," Jesus said, "the bread of life. And those who have a relationship with me, those who have that connection with me, those who believe who I am, that I am sent by the Father, that I am the one who comes down from heaven to bring a life." He said, "I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And see, there's this huge discussion that's going on between Jesus and the disciples, because they're still playing catch-up. They still think that what the feeding of the 5,000 was all about was just giving them lunch. It wasn't. It was pointing them to Jesus. And you get that at the end of the story, because here's where it all closes out. And Jesus looks at the crowd. There's like thousands of people there, and the disciples are listening. And he says something to them that just freaks them all out. He says to them, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have anything to do with me." Well, now, you know, they immediately go to cannibalism. He's not talking about cannibalism. He's like, "Guys, don't you get it yet? There's a physical and there's a spiritual. They haven't made that connection yet. They're still over there. They're still holding on to the loaf of bread. The disciples still got their baskets. They haven't made that transition yet." And so some of them look at him, they're like, "Dude, we don't want anything to do with that. You're weird." And he said, many of the people, many of the crowd, they're like, "We're not walking with you anymore. The Bible says they turned around and followed him no more. And then Jesus looked at the 12 and he asks them this question. He said, what are you going to do? Are you leaving too? And Peter, who is constantly the one getting it wrong, he's like me, you know, he's opening his big mouth and inserting his big foot. Peter is the one who's constantly getting it wrong. But Peter also is the one who every once in a while, he's like Babe Ruth. You know, Babe Ruth struck out over and over and over. He had like the highest strikeout record, right? And also home run record. Peter's like Babe Ruth. He's swinging, man. He's swinging for the fence. Sometimes he strikes out. Every once in a while, he knocks it out of the park. He looks at Jesus, and I think maybe it's finally starting to sink in. I can almost see him putting his basket down because he's figured out it's not got nothing to do with the bread over here. He put the basket down. And he looked at Jesus and he said to him, he said, Jesus, where else are we going to go? You are the one who has the words of life. Whew, out of the park. He made the transition. He understood. It was never really about the bread at all. Yes, when Jesus said, listen, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, it includes the physical. Because our Father, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, knows the things that we need, and he's going to make sure that we have them. And it's okay to ask him for those. But there is so much more going on than just the physical. When he says, give us this day our daily bread, he's reminding us of dependence upon the Father. He's reminding us of provision from the Father. He's reminding us that there is something more important in life. And for those things, there's really only one place that we can go. And Peter got it right. Lord, where else are we going to go? You're the only one who has these words of life. Give me that quote again, Joe. I want to close with that quote. We live in a world of physical abundance and spiritual poverty. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And when we pray, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Yes, he's saying, ask for the things that you need, but recognize that you have an abundance many times of the things that matter least. And a lack of the things, the spiritual connection with the Father, that matter most. And when you ask him for what you need, when you ask him for your daily bread, remember what Jesus said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. What you need more than anything else is you need that relationship with me. So what are you praying for this morning? What are you asking him for? What do you need most? Do you need the physical? If so, don't be ashamed to ask him for that. Don't draw back from that. If there's a physical need in your life, if you need him to provide your basic needs, the food, the shelter, you can come and pray and ask him for that. Jesus said, your Father knows that you need all those things. And he's just like your earthly father. He's not going to give you something that doesn't meet your need. He's going to provide every single thing that's necessary. And if you're struggling spiritually, only he can meet that need in your heart and in your life. And like Peter said, where are you going to go? Jesus, you're the only ones. You're the only one that has the words of true life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, for the opportunity that we have to come to you with those things that we need in life. Lord, I pray that that you will meet the needs of those who are here today. I pray for those who are struggling physically, perhaps those who have lost a job, those whose bills are greater than they can meet, those who don't have some of the things in life that they truly, truly need. God, I pray that the words of your Son Jesus will be real for them, that you will meet the need that they have. And Father, I pray for those of us who struggle spiritually, who have that physical abundance, but a spiritual poverty, who have forgotten that life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions, but in our relationship with you. Those of us who have forgotten that to simply distract ourselves with more and more and more of things that matter least, and never going to fill that emptiness spiritually in our life. So Lord, give us today our daily bread, both the physical that we need and the spiritual that we lack. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you